I was kind of drawn to the 70s era, and my husband not so much, but I kind of coaxed him into buying an older 70s caravan, and I had this vision of like renovating it and doing it up. And I remember there's one like that's all of us in the van, and I remember it was like when we were like mid-renovation, and I think I had like some sticky tape, and I sticky taped my phone like around the seat, and I pressed timer, and I quickly jumped in, and I was like, yeah, let's all laugh really loud, you know. And I did that a few times, and you just get the shot.
This episode is brought to you by Love JK, printing and framing beautiful things for your life story. Hey there, welcome to Mumatography, the beginner photography podcast just for mums. I'm Amy Oliver, and I'm a mama of two cheeky girls, and I've also been a family photographer for the last 10 years. I'm on a mission to help you take better photos of your kids without the confusing technical jargon.
Mums don't have time for that.
I'll be sitting down with mamas like yourselves, professional family photographers and camera-savvy Insta-mums. We'll chat about taking photos of your kids, tips and tricks, and how the heck did she make that photo? As well as other stuff that mums talk about, you know, not sleeping, poo, playdates, the mummy juggle. I know you hear me, so grab a cuppa, put your earbuds in and get comfy. This is beginner photography and so much more. Just for you. Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode number 7 of the Mumatography podcast. Now, today on the show, we have my lovely friend Christina from the Instagram account Our Sandy Days. Christina is a gorgeous photographer from rural Victoria. She photographs families and weddings and some commercial work. She's got a love for old things, including old Viscount caravans. And on the show today, we get to hear about many of these things, including why and how her and her husband bought an old van to renovate for their family holidays. And we also get to talk about her love of iPhone photography, which is really cool to hear a professional photographer who doesn't mind taking photos on her iPhone. And she also, at the end of the episode, shares a beautiful photo recipe for you to try yourself at home, and you can even use your iPhone for that recipe, so you don't want to miss that one. So make sure you go and check out today's show notes. You can click on them in the notes section in the podcast app, or you can just go to the website, which is mamatography, mamatography.co/7, and you will be able to see the image that we talk about on the show today for the How She Made It segment, and you can also download your free photo recipe from that page as well. So we're going to get into it. I hope you enjoy. Well, I would just like to welcome Christina to the Mumatography podcast. Thanks for being here, Christina.
Hello, and thanks for having me.
No worries. For people who don't know who you are, could you just tell us a little bit, paint the picture, tell us about who your little people are and where you're from? We'd love to hear it.
Yep, I'm a photographer, and I've been doing photography for probably about 15 years professionally. I live in South Gippsland in a little town called Mervu North in Victoria, and I have three little kids. I've got one who's almost 9, her name's Maeve, and then I've got Clementine who's almost 7, and then I've got a little boy called Elky and he's 2.5.
I love the names of your kids. Absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, they are pretty sweet names.
But Christina, could you just tell us, how did you actually get into photography?
When I left school, I kind of didn't have anything in mind as what I wanted to do. When I was in school, though, like the only subject that I actually did like was media studies. And when we studied photography, I really enjoyed that. And we got to play in the dark room and, take photos and do all that sort of stuff. And I marked really well in that subject. That was kind of my goal when I left school. I was like, right, I'm going to get into photography somehow. And I kind of had in mind that I wanted to work in the media because my sister, she was a journalist, and I thought, you know, I kind of want to go that direction, but I was English, so I thought I'll try photography. So when I was 19, I kind of just applied for my first job as a cadet photographer at a regional newspaper. I sucked at the interview. I'm not going to lie. I knew none of the answers, like the technical questions that they asked me, but I don't know. I just was myself, and surprisingly, I got the job, and I kind of never looked back. It was an awesome way to get into photography. Like I was kind of thrown into the deep end from day one, and I was given an SLR camera and I had no idea how to use it, but I just had to go and play with it. And I got to do some amazing work within that newspaper. It was at the Shepparton News. And then we wanted to move back to Gippsland where our family was. And yeah, I kind of just had this moment where I thought, oh, you know, maybe I should go out and start my own business, because people were approaching me at that time to do their weddings. And I was one of those photographers at the news. I was like, I'm never going to do weddings. That's not my thing. And it kind of just worked out. Yeah, we moved down to Gippsland and there wasn't any wedding photographers locally where I was moving to. So I was like, yeah, I'm just going to start doing that. And luckily I got to work at a magazine down this way as well. So that was kind of, I was kind of doing that on the side and then started doing weddings. So yeah, it kind of just all evolved and then started doing family photos. And yeah, that's mainly what I shoot at the moment is family photography and weddings.
Well, Christina, one of the main reasons that I wanted to have a chat with you, not only do you take gorgeous photos, but, you know, for a while now, I've been following one of your Instagram accounts called Our Sandy Days. And this is an account dedicated to your travels of your family. And you've recently renovated a caravan and it's been very inspiring to watch your journey from getting a shell to, like, you know, going on holidays. And I often say, like, when I see your photos up, I often find myself on Facebook Marketplace just going into a caravan hole and trying to work out what caravan I should buy and what our budget is and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But anyway, you've got this gorgeous old caravan, as I said, you've recently renovated, and it just kind of looks like this perfect photo taking backdrop. And I feel like you could probably rent it out for photo shoots. Have you thought of that?
Yes, kind of. I've had a few people approach me actually for it. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. I just want to keep it to ourselves for now.
Yeah, fair enough. But anyway, I just feel like I've got so many questions about your caravan and your camping and your photography altogether. So, but I feel like before we get into that, I just feel like I need to hear the story of your caravan first.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, when did you get it? How long did it take to renovate? You know, where did you get this amazing vintage brown cushion that's in the van?
Yeah.
All the questions. Tell us about your caravan journey.
So it was like after we had our third baby and we realized then we're like, oh, you know, like renting out holiday houses and stuff was getting like a bit sexy, and we're like, oh, you know, maybe we should look at getting a caravan. And we did. And, you know, like new caravans were pretty expensive and we sort of didn't want to spend that much money. And so we started looking at older caravans. And then I've always loved vintage old things, like from op shops and, you know, finding treasures and reusing them and things like that. So
yeah.
I was kind of drawn to the 70s era, and my husband not so much, but I kind of coaxed him into buying, an older 70s caravan, and I had this vision of like renovating it and doing it up. And we did do a renovation to our home years ago, and so we sort of knew that, you know, if you can make it happen, you can make an old thing look nice again if you've got the right vision. So yeah, so we got it in the towards the end of 2018, and it only sort of took us around 5 months to renovate, because we didn't do like a huge like full renovation from like the bottom up. We kind of just did cosmetic changes, like we did a lot of painting, and we changed some cabinetry and fixed up some water damage. And then we had it professionally painted on the outside, which just made it look even better.
I feel like I need to say it's got, tell me if I'm wrong, but from the photos it looks like this beautiful light kind of salmon color stripe on the outside. Yeah. It's beautiful, guys. It's just
It was like I went to Bunnings and went and had a look at like a million colors. I just kind of had this mood board where I was like, I just want earthy tones that kind of reflect our environment, and you know, like, yeah, I was just drawn to sort of neutral tones, because then you can kind of play around with other colors, or, you know, little pops of colors. Yeah, we always, it was a dark timber kind of color on the inside, and we always knew that we just wanted to freshen it up, so we just sort of painted the whole inside white. And like, I mean, Pinterest and other Instagram accounts are great to follow, like, because you get a lot of inspiration from other people, so, you know, we knew that we could do it. So yeah, we just sort of put our heads down, and yeah, we worked hard for a few months, and I got a lot of things from the op shops to sort of help furnish it. And those brown cushion covers, they're actually like old curtain covers that I found in the op shop years ago. And they were just one of those things that I brought because I liked the pattern and the linen covered. And I just had this moment where I was like, oh, I've got these like old fabric like curtain covers that we could use. So I had a friend fit them to our old cushions. So yeah, that kind of just worked out.
I feel like, guys, if you look at Christina's Instagram account, like the first thing you do is you look inside and then you just see these beautiful vintage brown floral but not kind of cushion covers. And I think, do you get lots of questions on Instagram about them?
Yeah, everyone always asks, like, where's the fabric from? And I'm like, that's an old vintage find. That's like, if I ever sold our caravan like that, I would almost want to take that out because I like
it. But and I reckon people would buy your caravan for the covers, so they might be participating.
Yeah.
That's so cool. So did you grow up camping yourself?
Like, funnily enough, we never went camping. I know we went to a lot of camping and fishing shows, and I remember like always looking at tents and stuff, and I think my dad actually brought one, but I only remember ever camping in the backyard in it.
Yep.
It wasn't until I met my then boyfriend but now husband and he was into camping. So yeah, we started sort of doing a few trips here and there, and I kind of grew to love the idea of slow living, and it's much more relaxed kind of environment when you go camping, and you know, there's not a lot to do and you kind of just sit back and relax. And yeah, it was kind of just the way we thought we would go because it's more affordable kind of living like holidays for families. I feel anyway, because you can go to these beautiful parks and, you know, you're not spending $300 a night, you know, like on a place. So, and you can get beautiful prime real estate, you know, like you can basically have a home by the beach side, which we will never be able to afford. But, you know, when you're camping, you get to do that sort of thing. And that's what I love so much about it. Like, we recently went to Paradise Valley, which is down in Gippsland, and we were lucky enough to get a waterfront spot, and we were right along the river, and it was just like the most amazing little setting. And yeah, you don't get to do that when you're living in
if you are hiring a house or an Airbnb, it might be like, you know, $5,000 for the weekend or something to get that kind of position.
That's kind of why we love camping so much, I suppose. And we want to teach the kids, you know, as well, that you don't need a lot when you go on holidays, you know, like I like the fact that everything just fits into our little caravan. Everything's ours, like, you know, beds are made, and you kind of just rock up and get the tables out, and you're ready to go. Yeah, that's what I like about the camping, and there's like less cleanup. Like when I'm home, I feel like I'm always cleaning and cleaning up after the kids and cleaning their toys. And when you're camping, like, it doesn't matter if they make a mess or spill food.
So, Christina, where have you been in your van so far? You just mentioned that you went to Paradise Valley, but tell us a bit about your travels and maybe even your favourite holiday place that you've been to.
Yeah, well, we've done a couple of local sort of area spots local to us. We've sort of gone down to Venus Bay and into Wilson's Prom, which you would have heard about, I'm sure. And we've gone up the East Coast all the way up to Kiama in New South Wales, which was a big trip. That was like a couple of weeks, and that was an awesome trip. Mallacoota, and then we've gone over to the other side, sort of along the Great Ocean Road as well, and gone up to Warrnambool and to the Grampians.
And do you have a favourite out of all those? Is there one that stands out?
Oh, like, I did love that Paradise Valley one. I had the most perfect location, and like, all the elements, like all the camping elements, aligned that weekend. Like, the weather was perfect. The kids were great. Yeah, we had the waterfront views. Like, it was just such a beautiful weekend. So there's lots of memories from that. But the Grampians was awesome too, because it was inland and we normally go sort of coastal. So going inland, fun, beautiful views and Rocky Mountains, like cool stuff to photograph. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know, they're all different. They're all great in their own way.
Do your kids have a preference? Like, were they a bit disappointed about Grampians initially because there's no beach, or
how? No, like, they do like going to the parks, like a Big Four or Discovery Parks, because they usually have the jumping pillows. And whereas, like, Paradise Valley was just, like, a creek and, like, big hills and stuff to climb. And so they were a little bit, like, almost maybe a little bit disappointed when we first got there, because they're like, where's the jumping pillow? But you know, like, once they sort of forgot about that and that, you know, they got their exploring shoes on, then they were down by the river like every second of the day. So good bits and bad bits about all different kinds of parks, I suppose.
Where do you want to go that you haven't been yet? Like, what's your list? What's your list look like?
Well, we did plan to go to South Australia this last month in October, but we couldn't. We kind of want to do like almost like a little half lap of Australia. So go like South Australia, Western Australia, and then come like back through the Northern Territory and come back down. So maybe that's on the cards next year. So hopefully.
I think sometimes when you're an outsider looking in on someone's Instagram account, you're kind of, you know, you think, oh, life is perfect, you know. Like that's Instagram, right, isn't it?
You always post the nice photos.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm sure that you guys have beautiful, amazing moments away with your family. But I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think sometimes it's easy to romanticize the idea of camping with young kids, and just to make me feel better. So I guess I'm wanting to ask, like, can you just talk about what is the reality of what it's like camping with young kids in an older van? And, you know, I'm ready to buy a van tomorrow, but just while I'm waiting, kind of burst my bubble a little bit and tell me what the reality is.
I'll prepare you for the dark side. Oh, look, like the hardest part, I think, is like kids, they're so excited when you go away and they are like go, go, go for the first 3 or 4 days. Like they just want to explore and then don't stop and they just go, go, go. And like they go to bed late and they get up early. And that's the hardest part, like is being out of a routine and getting tired kids, because when they're tired and then they're cranky and then they're like fighting with each other, and those times are hard. I think they're the hardest parts, but once they do get into a rhythm and they start sleeping a bit longer again and the excitement kind of wears off a bit and they get used to it, like it kind of starts to flow again, and that's I think the hardest part is adjusting to that newer kind of routine when you do go away.
I really like what you said before about just that, you know, simpler, slower pace of life. I think when I think about camping with kids, I'm like, that's what I want. Like I want to avoid the TV and avoid the you know, the nagging and the thing, you know, like once kids are outside, they just are so much more creative and it's like they can finally think for themselves instead of, you know, trying to battle screen time or whatever else.
And that's another thing that I do love about camping too. It kind of forces you to be outside, like regardless of the weather, because you can't sit in, like, especially our van, because it's only 16 foot, like we can't sit in our caravan for like more than like 10 minutes all of us together. Like if it was pouring rain, we still get out and explore and try and have fun, because it's, we kind of got to, otherwise we'd go crazy.
Just a practical photography question for you, and it might sound so simple and you might laugh, but I want to hear your thoughts. How do you personally travel with your camera? Because like I found myself in the past just having this mental balance when we go away, do I bring my camera with me? You know, it's too big. What if it gets stolen? I don't have, you know, my camera bag's too big. I think, but if I'm being honest, I think it being stolen is probably a bigger, you know, just worry for me.
You know, I've never thought of that. I must be too trusting of people.
I think about it all the time. I think sometimes as well I struggle not to take my laptop to then actually edit the photos because I'd be too excited. Yes. So, you know, there's this kind of camera and then there's this computer and then there's this hard drive that I don't want stolen. But anyway, I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Well, that's why I had my little Fuji one. Like I did take that on a lot of trips. And then I take one of my Nikons, which has the wireless connection. So that's how I connect it to my phone and that's how I edit. Edit my photos and then post them while I'm away. To be honest, like I do take it and then half the time I regret it because it's like taking up in its camera bag, like sitting in our caravan taking up space, and then I don't really use it a lot because it's big and chunky and it kind of, I don't know, I feel like I'm at work then, whereas if I just whip out my little camera or my iPhone, like it's so much easier. And I'm like, majority of the time I have my phone with me, so it's so quick, like just to whip out and capture those moments that are happening that I need to like click away at, whereas, you know, by the time I go in and would get my camera and come out, then it's gone, like that moment's gone. So I don't like to admit it, but I have my phone with me like 24/7. Not that I'm on it, but, you know, like it's in my pocket or in my handbag.
And it's smaller. Much smaller than a big digital SLR. Go and check out Christina's Instagram account. It's called Our Sandy Days. But a lot of the photos on there are taken on her iPhone. And this is another reason that I think it's awesome to chat to someone like Christina, who's a professional photographer, but also uses her iPhone a lot to document her family and on holidays. And, yeah, I'd love it. Like, would you mind just telling us, Christina, how do you actually edit the photos on your phone? Like, can you just explain that a bit more?
Yep. So I just got a couple of apps. Like I used to use the VSCO app a lot and just use like the presets that were on there and then just play around with them really, like until I sort of got the colors that I like. And the bit that I sort of use Lightroom a lot now, there's just the free Lightroom mobile app. And I've got presets that I use for my work, like from my desktop computer saved onto my phone. So it's like, it's pretty simple. Like you just load them into Lightroom, play around with a few settings.
I'd really encourage our listeners, like if this is something that interests you, definitely download the free Lightroom app because it's easy, isn't it? Like it's so easy to play with.
And I mean, there are so many presets from so many people out there now. Like even on Instagram, I'm like, I follow so many people who sell their own preset packs and you know, for $30 or $40 you can buy something that'll just you click on it and it just it'll brighten it up, and you don't have to manually do too much, like you just really click a button.
That's such good advice. I think some people feel quite overwhelmed when it comes to presets when you're not not a professional photographer and they're like, what the heck are presets? Like, yeah, where do I get them from? Or if they do actually a quick Google search, you come up with some really crap ones to start with. Yeah. Maybe even search some hashtags on Instagram to kind of see what comes up, because there might be that kind of look that you like. I mean, there's lots of, you know, beautiful warm tones are kind of in at the moment, but then you've got your light and airy kind of ones as well. But there's just so many Lightroom presets out there. And I just encourage you not to give up. Just keep looking and find one that you like.
They're often the pages that have like a posting holiday photos and stuff. And then you actually look at their link or their bio and you know, they'll say presets available here, and you're like, oh, easy as that.
Now, I also noticed that you are quite good about getting in the frame with your family. I kind of just wanted to ask, are you doing this? I think you're doing it on your iPhone a bit.
Yes.
But how do you do it? Do you have a tripod? Do you have hubby helping you? Can you talk us through your kind of self-portrait with your kids?
Yeah. I remember there's one like that's all of us in the van. And I remember it was like when we were like mid-renovation. And yeah, I think I had like some sticky tape and I sticky taped my phone like around the seat. And I pressed timer and I quickly jumped in and I was like, now let's all laugh really loud, you know, and you know, I'd like to do that a few times and you just get the shot. But I usually either set up the self timer or like my husband, I just kind of set it up and say, hey, can you click this, because I like to be in photos. That's, you know, like it's so important to be in photos as well and to remember those memories. Like I can't stress that enough. It's nice to get photos of your kids, but like to be in them as well or get someone else to take them for you it's special, because you know, remember that you were there too.
Now we're going to jump into a segment that we do most weeks on the podcast called How She Made It. So this is a segment where my guest chooses an image that she's created and we actually talk about how she did it. So what she was thinking, how she was feeling, what inspired her, how she edited the image, were her kids even complying, and just anything else she wants to talk about. Now this might seem crazy given that this is an audio medium and not a visual one, but I guarantee you it still works. I would encourage you just to pause this episode right now and actually go and look at the image we're about to talk about. So if you're listening on your iPhone, you can just jump into the podcast app and click on this episode's notes and click on How She Made It, and you will be taken to the photo. Alternatively, you can just go to the Mummatography website, which is www.mummatography.co, and go and look for the big podcast button. Click there and you will be taken to the notes section where you can just navigate to this episode and see the image we're talking about at the top of the page. So, if you haven't done it yet, go there now and have a look. I guarantee you it is only going to make your day better, and I really hope that this segment will inspire you in your own photo taking journey, and just that it'll also help you understand the thinking process behind how an image is made.
And so Christina has picked a beautiful photo and I'll let her describe it. Yeah, I'm super pumped about this photo because it is a silhouette and we haven't talked about silhouettes on the podcast yet. So Christina, could you just paint the picture of this photo for people who might not have clicked over onto your show notes to see the photo yet? Could you just visually describe what's going on here for people who haven't seen the photo?
So this is a photo of my middle child, Clementine, dancing on the beach with the sunset in the background.
And is this on your iPhone or your digital?
No, this was on my Fuji digital camera. So like I'm a sucker for sunsets. Like if there's a sunset any day like that looks good, I'm like, I want to go and watch it. So this was when we were camping at Wilson's Prom and it was just a beautiful day and the kids had already been bathed and like we're nearly ready for bed. But you know, I could sort of see a sunset coming down and I just said to one of my kids, I was like, come on, let's go for a walk and watch the sunset. And so I took my camera down and yeah, it was so beautiful. Like I remember walking down onto the beach and you could just see the sun gradually kind of getting lower and lower and reaching kind of the mountain. And yeah, it just had this beautiful golden yellow glow to it. And yeah, and I just asked my girl, I said, oh, can you just do some dances for me on the sand? And yeah, I remember she was kind of like putting her arms up like an aeroplane kind of thing and twirling around. And yeah, I kind of just snapped away and picked that one as one of my favorites.
I think some people who are new to photography, I think unless you've really given a silhouette shot a go, they can be confused about, should I be overexposing it? Should I be underexposing it? Should I just try and fluke it? Do you do anything in particular when you're taking a silhouette in terms of camera settings?
I don't know. I probably do underexpose it a bit just so you can mm-hmm. capture that light. You don't blow out the light too much. And I mean, you can try light. You can try overexposing it, blowing it out, and then you yep. can try really dark, which I think I probably did on that night, like until I kind of just found the one that I liked the most.
And for those who maybe don't know what we're talking about, underexposing an image is where we make the image a little bit darker, and overexposing an image is where we make the photo deliberately a bit brighter. And yeah, I think sometimes once you bring them into Lightroom, you can kind of see why you do that. I think it can help when you do silhouettes just to underexpose it, because you can get more detail in the sky, like you said, and you're not blowing things out, and your silhouette, the person in the photo, can actually be a little bit darker. And that's what you're trying to achieve when you're taking a silhouette photo. You really want your subject to be dark. So yeah, hope that's a little bit helpful.
Yes.
This is beautiful. I love this photo. It's got this beautiful whimsy to it. And I think obviously that is made by your daughter doing the position that she is with her arms. And there's kind of like the joy in her feet, which is really beautiful.
It was a beautiful moment. Like, it was a beautiful warm night, and we were happy to run around in the wet sand, and we've spent probably 10 minutes there like watching it as it went down. So nice memories.
Christina, if you could give our mums maybe one or two last tips when it comes to photographing your kids, maybe even while you're on holidays or not, what would you say? What would be some tips that you'd have for them?
Always have your camera handy, close by, not too far away. And like, if you see a moment, like, don't hesitate, like just get it out and take photos and change positions too. Like, you know, sometimes I might take a photo and realize that I've got something in the background that I really don't want in there. So like, just quickly change around or move with your child, like if they're moving as well.
What about specifically on holidays? What would be a tip for photographing your kids on holidays?
Have lollies close by, rather no. Nearly all my photos like are just as they happen, like nothing, especially like all the holiday photos, like none of them are really staged, like it's shooting as it happens. And I think that's the beauty of photography as well, though, like you can just capture moments that they don't even know. So it's really hard, like staging a photo, like, so you kind of just have to make it work yourself in a way. That makes sense.
No, it does. It makes perfect sense. One more question I had was, I think that sometimes people think when they're photographing on their iPhone that the quality is not going to be what they need to be able to make a photo book or something like that. I don't know if that's a thing. Have you printed many of your iPhone photos, and how do you go with that?
Yeah, like the older ones, like from the old iPhone 7, like lacked a little bit of quality, blown up, and then sort of like a 6x4. But like, the newer iPhone, like it's great. Like I can bring them up on Lightroom, like on my desktop, and they look like a full-on photo from my camera. Like there's a lot of detail, like because I was so hesitant on upgrading my iPhone for ages, and I'm so glad I did it, because like it's just like the best investment. Like it's just so easy to use, so clear. There's a lot of detail in the photos, and the portrait mode, like I can't believe I lived without the portrait mode for so long.
I know.
Portrait mode on the iPhones is incredible. Like you can play around with the aperture and get it really low, so you can just get like your subject in focus, and then everything else kind of blurs out, and that's like what a real camera does. So to be able to do that on an iPhone is amazing. Like they're bringing out a new one even, so you know, like you can't even imagine what that one does. Get stuck asking other people that. I'm like, what camera do you use? You know, like I'm like, your images are so nice, but often, you know, it's just it's like a reflection on the photographer and how they capture that and edit it. Like, you know, like it's kind of all the process. Like the editing's the fun part. I love editing photos. Yeah. Like, I love just sort of seeing what you can do with an image and how you can sort of enhance it and help create a bit more of a mood to it.
And I think, like we said earlier, like once you discover the Lightroom app, it just makes that process achievable. Like you're not kind of crunching your files on like low quality apps. Like you use Lightroom and it's a good quality app, and it's going to actually do really good things to your photo and not kind of lessen the quality of it. So I love your Instagram account, and I didn't realize a lot of them were iPhone photos, to be honest. that leads me into this week's photo recipe, because Christina has been really generous with us and written us a photo recipe for you guys. And it's kind of all about capturing your kids having a sunset adventure. And it involves hot chocolates and marshmallows and just finding a beautiful spot to watch the sunset together. The cool thing about this is that all the photos Christina has sent through to accompany this recipe in the PDF are all taken on her iPhone, and they're beautiful. Until you said that, I wouldn't have known that some of them were. So that's super encouraging, and I'm so glad we've kind of covered this today. Yeah, I hope it's really encouraging for people. But is there anything else you'd like to say about the recipe, Christina?
I mean, easy to do in the fact that I just kind of said to the kids, let's go on an adventure and watch the sunset. And we drove up to our favourite spot, and I knew it was going to be a nice sunset because it had been a beautiful day, blue sky. And yeah, and I just took some hot chocolates up there and marshmallows, and I didn't take my good camera. And like, I kind of got there and I was like, oh, I should have brought my good camera. But yeah, like we sort of got out and I thought I'll just take photos on my iPhone anyway. Mm. And yeah, like I just kind of captured it as it went and got the kids to climb some logs and sat up there with them. And like everything was like literally just taken as it happened. Like, yeah, that's how we created those images. I tried lots of different angles, and I shot with the sun in my shot, and then I shot with the sun behind me. So like I kind of just played around with it. So that's what I encourage you to do.
Yeah, I just want to say thanks so much for being on the podcast, Christina. If people want to connect with you, either book you for a photo session or check out your caravan, where's the best place for them to connect with you?
Just on Instagram, like they can just shoot me a message on Our Sandy Days.
Yes, the other one, Crisp Pictures as well. And yeah. I will link both of those accounts and put some of notes from today's podcast in the show notes. So make sure you click on over. Yeah, and go and say hi to Christina. But thank you so much for being on the podcast. It's been so great to hear about your little caravan adventures and your camping and your photography and your iPhone photography. Thank you for sharing what you know.
I hope that some of this kind of inspires someone else to get out there and just get their camera out and go on some adventures and hopefully get in some photos themselves.
Thanks, Christina.
Thanks.
Well, thanks for tuning into today's episode. How lovely is Christina? Well, guys, I hope you have a great week. And one more thing before I go. Now, Trish and I have our Beginner Photography Masterclass for Mamas, and enrollment is open on the 19th of October. So if you're interested in learning photography with us, you want to learn how to take better photos of your kids, and you are a beginner, then this course is probably perfect for you. So just go to our website, which is mamatography.co, and there's buttons everywhere to get your name on the waitlist. So yeah, we'll have a great week, and we'll see you in the next episode. Bye.